Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, we've got a very special treat for you. I check in with Somatica teacher Celeste Hirschman about my experience in Somatica training, which has been extremely powerful so far. Also, answers to your emails. Are long distance relationships worth the hassle? And how do you masturbate without porn? All this and more. Thanks for listening. So what's in a name? It's not often you can look at a product's name and know exactly what you're getting. Then along came the Rabbit Company. The Rabbit Company is focused on one thing, pleasing you with their selection of high quality rabbit vibrators. One visit to therabbitcompany.com and you'll see what I'm talking about. The perfect collection of rabbit vibes in a variety of shapes and sizes. Whether you're looking to try your first rabbit vibe or your 21st, the Rabbit Company has a model for you. And just like the company, each vibe has a descriptive name so you know exactly what you're getting. There's the classic, the rotating, the beaded, the G-spot, and my personal favorite, the come hither. It uses the motion like you'd use with your finger wave to wave someone over. You know what I mean, to find the G-spot. And everyone on my team is in love with the rabbit ears, the perfect little clitoral stimulator. Every Rabbit Company vibe features easy to use controls, the highest quality materials, and a 5-year warranty, which BTW never happens with toys, that warranty thing. To see what I'm raving about, go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Rabbit Company banner, and use code Emily at checkout for a very special discount.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
To Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can check out our podcasts. And you know what you should do? You should subscribe to our podcast. It's so easy now because you can subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. What's the other one I always forget?
SoundCloud.
The last show I was like, I don't remember. SoundCloud. It's so fun. So easy. Yeah. Listen everywhere on the planet right now.
SoundCloud.com/sexwithemily.
Exactly. Google Play, all that stuff. And review the show. We like when you review it.
Do you know what I really like about SoundCloud too?
Tell me.
Is like people can leave little comments. So as the video is playing, they can select a little part of it. And just write a little comment right there.
Really? And be like at minute 20 or whatever. Yeah. Just stop. Oh, that's cool.
It's great. I mean, if you're a big SoundCloud user.
People are like
go
obsessed
ahead and
with
do that. Yeah.
SoundCloud.
But if you're not a SoundCloud user, it's a great site.
Yeah.
But if you're like, screw that. I'm all about iTunes.
Right.
Then stay on iTunes. It's all good. Don't worry about it. But it is important though. Please. Emily works hard with her whole crew to put this show together. I'm just the guy that presses the buttons. Please. Write a review, rate it, whatever place that you listen to the show. That's your little part that you can do to help.
Yeah, that's all we ask. That really helps us. Thank you, Dennis. People listen to you.
You love it when it's 5 stars. I say, do whatever you want.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you want to give us 1 star, like, email me what you're not happy about.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, Menace, that guy sucks. I hate him.
Yeah, if you say that, too. Whatever
you
want.
She'll love it.
I'll love it.
Else.
No, we don't love it.
No, it's
we
all
love
good.
You. No, but thank you, Menace. Thank you for saying that. And thank you for being here.
Hey, no
so
problem.
So good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And also, one more thing is that you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. It's all at Sex with Emily. And Facebook.com/SexWithEmily, which we're thinking we're going to be at 1 million, like, in the next week or so. And you should be that millionth person.
And I've mentioned this on other shows, but I'm definitely going to help you guys set up so you can do some Facebook Live stuff. I think that would...
Facebook Live. I really...
That'd be great.
I would love to do it. That would be awesome.
We have a whole little system here now, and it'll be pretty easy to do.
We are recording from the Sex with Emily offices.
We are. So
it's very exciting.
Yeah, I think I know how we can do it.
Really? Mm-hmm. Will you be on it too?
Yeah, I'll be on it too. I'll be ready for the feedback of people not liking me.
Well, who doesn't like you?
Nah, I mean, look, I would love to be the guy in here and be like, yes, you know what? F it. I want some chick to like ram shit up my ass or whatever, you know? But I'm just not that guy.
I get it.
But I know there's a lot of people on... that listen to the podcast that are into that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's people that are into Game of Thrones. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but do you know what? I'm not going to judge you because you're into that.
Right.
You know?
Just because Menace is into butt plugs, you can still listen to the show.
It's all good because you know what? We're totally open here and we'll have a discussion about it.
Exactly. That's good.
You know, yeah. I will have some feedback about it.
Right.
You know?
Menace is not one to hold back.
I'm not going
to
hold back. I mean, like, why the F are you into that?
Right.
But I'm not going to dislike you because of it.
Exactly. So don't dislike it. I mean, I'm not a judgmental person, and I know that a lot of people are. That makes me feel good. But hey, what's it sex? There's something for everyone.
So that's the part that I want to define is like, I won't dislike you because you're into a certain thing.
Right.
That's all.
At least to your face, he won't.
No.
No, he doesn't dislike you.
No,
you
if
really
I
don't.
Dislike you, you'll know it.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. And I'm so surprised. Because you did not like me when we first met 11 years ago. I mean, you liked me, but it was like, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah,
in
I'm
radio.
Like, who the F is this?
What's she doing? What is she doing saying F on the radio and stuff like that?
It's all good.
But we're past that.
That. Yeah,
it's 11 years later.
Ditto.
So we've had some great shows lately. Did you not love the Lady Freaks who were here?
Yeah, they were awesome.
Jen and Grace.
Them.
Oh, my God.
I love when the guests are great.
I know you do.
I do. I love when they're outspoken and they're just open and they talk.
Right.
You know?
We love when people talk on the show.
They were so good. And if you don't know what we're talking about, please look up that.
Yeah, it's
that
called
podcast.
The Best Sex of Your Life. And it was a great show. We've had some really good shows lately. So they're all over.
I talked about them actually later when I was at work doing the Woody Show, morning show on Alt 98.7 in Los Angeles. Because it's just the stories that they were sharing about one guy's penis was the circumference of a Coke can.
Yeah.
And then the other one was like, oh, went all the way down his leg to his knee. And I'm like, what the F? And I was telling my coworkers about this.
On the air?
Yeah. And they're just dying. Because then they're like, then they brought up the story about, you know, what's the average penis size in America? And then I had to... disqualify because it was a guessing game and I had to disqualify myself. I go, you know what? I do the Sex Without Me podcast. I already know what the average size is.
What is it?
So, well, I think this is a great measurement.
It is.
You've said that it is about the size of iPhone 6.
Right. Not the 6S.
Yeah.
The six.
That is the average size of a penis.
Not the Coke can going down the street. Yeah. But they were telling funny stories about penises.
So they blew my mind in this great episode. You got to download it.
You got to check
awesome.
It out. And this is a great episode. I got to say, well, I already know this is a great episode because I'm doing the Somatica training, as you know. And we're going to talk to Celeste and Danielle have been on the show many, many times. They're esteemed sex and relationship coaches. And I chose to take their training. It's a 6-month training. And I'm going every other month up to San Francisco. And
I think it's changing your life.
It is changing my life.
Different vibe from you. Different things happening.
Different things are happening.
It's crazy.
I'm setting boundaries. I'm breathing deeper. I'm feeling my feelings more. And so we're going to talk to her. She's going to be checking in with me about my practice. And
cool.
I think everyone's going to be learning a lot from this. And that's at somaticinstitute.com. But we'll be talking to her. You'll find out. But let's do a little sex in the news.
All right. What do you got?
Do men fake it too?
Do men fake it too?
What do you think?
Do they fake it? I mean, I think there's definitely points where they give up, but do they actually go,
Yeah.
And pretend they finished?
Apparently they do.
Oh, really?
Well,
I've never done that in my life, but I'm sure out of the millions upon millions of people live in the world that it has happened, but I don't know if there's like...
No, listen to this new study, because I actually, I gotta be honest, when I started this 11 years ago, I didn't know that either, and I remember one of the first years I was doing it that I learned that men actually do fake it, but this is a new study that came out that it's no great secret that women fake orgasms from time to time. In fact, survey studies have reliably found that most women admit to having done it at least once before. But is it something unique to women, or do men fake it too? According to research, the male fake orgasm is indeed real, and it's surprisingly common. It wasn't until this decade that researchers began looking into whether men fake orgasms, because for a long time, no one thought this was something guys actually did. Mm-hmm. A recent study published earlier this year in the Journal of Sex and Relationship Therapy took a closer look at men who actually do fake orgasms. For this study, they recruited 230 men ages 18 to 29 who said they had faked at least one orgasm with their current partner. These guys said that they do it, these guys, 29% of all sexual encounters with their partner, and further, that they had started faking orgasms more than a year ago.
What?
Most commonly, these guys said they were faking orgasms during vaginal sex. That's 71% of them. But many also said they had faked it during oral sex, 27%, and anal sex, 22%.
What?
Yeah. How does this look? Like, what does it look like when a 20-something guy fakes it? According to participants, the descriptions range from, I just made some extra noises and told her how good it felt. I just stopped and told her I was done and left. Clearly, some guys put some more work into the climax. Mm-hmm. But why do they fake it? Was it because the sex was bad, or because they weren't really into their partners? Generally speaking, no.
I've never faked it, but I've definitely been so tired of the point that you're
I can't, babe. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm done after... You know,
but this is really you're like, I'm done. I can't come. I'm over.
Let's go
to bed or order pizza. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But these guys, bad sex and lack of attraction were the least commonly reported reasons.
Yeah.
Most frequently, guys said they were faking them because they wanted their partners to feel good, or because they wanted to have an orgasm at the same time as their partner. So they faked it, which is why a lot of women say they fake it, which you should never do. I know. In general, guys who faked it were more frequently were actually more sexually satisfied.
Really?
Uh-huh. They said they were faking it because the sex wasn't good, or they weren't faking it because the sex wasn't good. Satisfaction was higher for the guys who were faking orgasms, and here's why. Number one, they wanted to make the sex better. Number two, they were too drunk to reach orgasm, so they just faked it. Yeah. Whereas men would just say, I'm too drunk.
I'm done.
Number three, they were having sex when their partners wanted to, but they didn't. And so they just faked it. Mm-hmm. So when should you and when shouldn't you fake it? These studies make it clear that men do fake orgasms, and the guys who fake them seem to do so fairly often. But should you find yourself faking orgasms with any frequency, stop and think about why you're doing it. Like, when you fake it because there's a problem with the sex with your partner, you're probably not doing anyone favors. So just you better be served by taking the effort you were going to put into faking it and spend some time in communication. So the truth is, this is kind of surprising. You're thinking, how would you not know? Like, isn't there like stuff, you know, is me ejaculating? So, but if you're wearing a condom.
An aftermath.
Yeah. No woman's like, wait a minute. Did you fake it? Let me see that condom.
Bust out that condom.
Yeah,
I need to see the inside.
Right. That's not happening.
You guys faked it with you, Emily?
Well, with this 29%. No, I don't. Yes, probably. Just like, I'm not going to be the chick who says, well, guys do it, but not with me.
Yeah.
Because guys are like, well, no woman. The guys are like, every woman orgasms with me. Yeah. No woman's ever faked it. Not true.
Yeah. Producer Madison, do you think your boyfriend ever faked it with you?
Should we call him?
Yeah, let's call him. Let's put him on the spot.
I'm sure.
Let's mess with him and say, I know you did.
Oh my God. I'm sure that guys out there that I've had sex with have faked it. I don't think that my boyfriend has faked it. He would tell me, honestly.
But you guys are very open.
Yeah, like, we talk about it. I mean, he gives me feedback while we're in the middle of sex. Like, there's no way he wouldn't tell me, you know. And
they're very communicative.
We've never even had a situation where he was like, it's not going to happen. Like, it always happens.
Right.
Yeah, come on.
He's early 20s. It always happens.
I'm surprised she didn't say, yeah. He's with me. Come
on. Right. No, she wouldn't talk like that, but she is a sexy hot mama. So I got to say that. But it's true. Let me just say this about faking.
Uh-huh.
And I've said it before, and I will say it again. It's such a disservice to fake your orgasm, because first of all, you're not having the kind of pleasure that you want, especially for women and for men. Like, just talk to your partner. Communication will get you so much further in life than does faking anything. Mm-hmm. So that's what I got to say about that. But also, and for women who fake it, like, your guy's thinking, oh my God, like, I'm amazing, I'm so great. And you're not teaching them how he could do it better so you can have more pleasure. So, but these guys are saying they're sexually satisfied because they just want their woman to be pleased. It's a whole confusing whatever thing, but I think Misley, don't fake anything. You. Like, fake.
I mean, would you be offended?
Don't fake your Louis Vuitton bag. Okay. Don't fake your orgasms. Don't fake.
Okay.
What?
I mean, okay, so yeah, they did that study, blah, blah, blah. What's the point of it? Would you be offended, really offended by that? Or would you even care if you found out a guy faked it?
I don't know if I mean, honestly, because the interesting thing here is that
I don't think guys care if a woman faked it or not.
I think a lot of guys would care. I think a lot of guys are like, no woman's ever faked it. And they find out, like, I was faking it the whole time. Didn't you remember that Seinfeld episode mm-hmm. where everyone's like, I faked it. Elaine, and they're like, jury, I faked it.
Yeah, but that's a TV show. No, I think in real life, guys that really care, they would get butthurt by it.
I think they would. I think if they're like, girlfriends are always faking it. Like, there's a lot of women who are like serial fakers. Mm-hmm. Like, they've actually never had.
No, I know that. I understand, like, but that affects the woman, and then that sucks for them.
Right.
But for a guy, like, do they really care? I mean, they would pretend to care.
I don't know. I think like every once in a while,
honey, I'm really gonna try harder next time, blah blah blah.
Sometimes you just can't get there. I'm just glad to hear that men can't get there too. Yeah. You know, I mean, I've known this, but like now you hear why. But sometimes women, you just, no matter what,
yeah,
we're really turned on. Like, there's just times you just can't. Just like, there's times that you can't, and you just end it. That's, you just be honest, be like, not tonight, babe, it's not gonna happen, but love you, feels great, let's go to bed. Okay, now we're gonna take a quick break. Give a shout out to our sponsors, and then we're going to hop on the phone with Celeste.
Sweet.
For my Somatica training. All right, I have a confession to make. I'm not what you'd call a good cook.
What? I don't believe it.
Yeah. Okay, to be honest, I've never really tried cooking. So let's just say don't cook.
There's nothing in a refrigerator.
At all.
The way.
There's nothing. There's some champagne. At all. It's not because I don't want to. I love food, but I just never make the time. But I've tried at least a few times, and I get super inspired. You know, I buy a lot of groceries. I commit to cook lunch and dinner every day. And the next thing I know, I'm tossing out old produce 2 weeks later. I've done this so many times, Menace, I won't even let myself buy lettuce now. So typically, I get home at night. I'm starving. I want to make dinner. And I have zero food and zero plan. But this has all changed thanks to Blue Apron. Blue Apron is like the best invention ever. Do you know about Blue Apron? They develop complete gourmet meals. They measure out all the ingredients and they ship them directly to me, 100% ready to cook. I open the box, I follow the simple instructions, and I'm telling you they're simple because you know that I can do it. And I have amazing meals that I cooked. I love everything about Blue Apron. The quality ingredients, the easy to follow recipes, and of course, the incredible meals. I mean, I look like a gourmet chef. Each week features a new round of available recipes, and they rival anything you'll find in a high-end restaurant. And because they send you exactly what you need, nothing goes to waste. I made soy ginger pork meatballs and New England-style salmon rolls. How about that? And it's so high-end and quality, I impressed myself. Now, I know this sounds like way too easy to be true. Like, you're like, how does that happen? How did you make pork meatballs? But get this. It's also affordable, like incredibly so. Blue Apron's gourmet meals cost as little as $10 a person. And right now, you can get two meals free and free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/sexwithemily to see this week's recipes. Two free meals and free shipping. blueapron.com/sexwithemily. Check it out. Okay, right now we're going to talk to Celeste Hirschman, who runs the Somatica Institute at somaticainstitute.com. I've been taking this life-changing training with her, and I can't wait to talk to her. Okay, well, we've got my teacher, Celeste Hirschman, on the phone from the Somatica Institute and CelesteandDanielle.com, who's been on my show a bunch for like the last 10 years. And Celeste, thank you so much for calling in.
Absolutely. I'm so excited.
I am too. And my listeners know, like, I've been talking about the Somatica training that I went to last month in San Francisco. And I talked about the boundaries a few weeks ago on the show and how that's been so helpful for me. Like, after the training, I came back. I just started setting boundaries left and right. It was amazing. I didn't even know I had it in me. And realizing how important they are.
Good work.
Yeah, but I was hoping that you, in your own words, since you are the teacher and the founder and the creator of Somatica, that you could just kind of explain it in your own words before we get started on my homework.
Sure, I would be happy to. I mean, I think the hardest thing about learning how to do sex and intimacy well is that there's so few places to go where somebody's actually willing to be in emotional and erotic connection with you and then guide you through the tools of that, so that you can get better at it and be being really authentic in that connection. So the Somatica method is really about engaging with our clients from a vulnerable, connected, emotionally intimate place, and then helping coach them through everything from sharing feelings to how to seduce and show passion and throw somebody against the wall. So there's a whole range of skills that we need in order to have the hottest sex and the most intimate emotional relationships. And you actually have to practice them with somebody who is really willing to be there with you and be open in order for you to learn anything. And that's why we created this method.
Yeah, it's a really powerful method. I mean, when I said, because I didn't really know, you know, I've read your book and I've had you on the show, but I didn't know until I was there for 5 days actually experiencing it. And, you know, I got so much out of it, but just thinking of how many couples I think could, or individuals could really just benefit from it. And I know I did. So yeah, there was
hair. How was it for you? I'm curious how it was for you to go into that level or that depth of emotional intimacy with all of those different people who you had just met.
You know, it was, I was nervous. You know, the first day, I have to say, like, our first, even just the first exercise, which is so funny, was, so it was looking into your partner's, you know, eyes and just like someone's eyes you just met for mm-hmm. like, how many seconds was that? It felt like 6 hours. But the first exercise was just looking into someone's
30
eyes.
30 seconds maybe.
Yeah, it was probably 30 seconds. And you had to turn to someone you don't know, the first exercise, right? And just staring into their eyes. And you realize like, we don't even do that. I mean, it was such this intimacy. And I thought, oh my God, this is going to be a really long 5 days. But surprisingly, it was just this really instantly, like this is really intimate. It was comfortable in a way. Like at first I was nervous, but then the second it started, I felt like really connected to the person. And then after that, the next one was like someone was pulling my hair and I'm like, I'm down. I'm into this. But I'm like, it's starting. Oh no, we're already starting partner exercises, because typically I've done things where, I don't know, I'm like breaking into groups. I don't love it. But it was the first time I've had that kind of experience of taking a class where, I don't know, I was just immediately, like, it's just disarming. Everyone there was, it just made you feel comfortable, and you and Danielle are excellent teachers, but in a way that you don't feel like you're being so taught, and that, you know, like, that you are so knowledgeable, but yet we're all on this, like, equal playing field trying to, you know, learn together, and it was powerful. I loved every moment. I have to say, I got so much out of it. I had so many like great breakthroughs. Like, you know, I came back and I was like setting boundaries with people, and I realized like that setting boundary, that it's okay, and that in my relationships personally and professionally, and that how they were lacking, and how I was had so much fear around, you know, people not liking me, and that, you know, but that really, when you do set boundaries, yeah, it's really effective with people. Like, the people want you to set boundaries, that it doesn't have to be such a hard thing, mm-hmm. and that it helps everyone understand the relationship.
Emily's
better.
has been such a free spirit, and then you you are a pleaser, you know?
I am.
Yeah, you want to say, okay, even though maybe inside you're like, I'm not really down with this.
Exactly. You know? So I've been checking myself on that, Celeste, to have you know, where I've come back and said, you know what, that's really not comfortable for me, and I have to say that this actually doesn't feel right for me.
That's how you build trust in relationship, actually setting your boundaries. And, you know, of course, there's going to be disappointment sometimes, but I think in the long term, it really makes people know, oh, she's only going to do what feels comfortable for her, and that's what makes people trust you.
Right. So I appreciate that. And also one thing that was just really powerful for me when was a quote. And there wasn't much writing on it. It was a lot of like, you know, what I love is that it is very hands-on and experiential. You know, we're not listening to lecturing. We're really experiencing these things. And I learn by doing, and I think a lot of people do. But when you did write that quote on the board, and I've quoted this so many times since, that relationships are not about perfection. They're about repair.
Yep.
And I thought that was very, very powerful. I'm wondering if you could speak to that.
Yeah, I feel like all, you know, just by being who we are completely in earnest, our sweet, wonderful selves, we're going to step on other people's toes. Like, that's impossible not to, because people have different needs. They have different beliefs about the way to live a life. They have different boundaries. And if we try to tiptoe all the time, we are screwed. You know, we don't get to be ourselves. But if we just say, okay, I'm not perfect, I'm going to be who I am, and then if I do happen to step on somebody's toes, I'm going to be there and listen to them and hear their feelings and share my feelings and be willing to reconnect when there's these distances or disruptions. That's what also builds trust in relationship and makes you know, oh, we can get through things that are challenging, because we cannot have a relationship that's not challenging, but we can have a very amazing relationship if we can get through those challenges together, right? So right. If we can repair, then we have the opportunity for sustainability.
Right. And it doesn't mean anything's wrong. That's actually a normal part of a healthy relationship, is that you're constantly repairing and growing and getting closer through this process.
Essential. There's no intimacy. If people say they never fight or they never have problems with each other, I'm like, oh, really? You must be living separate tracks.
Exactly.
You're not impacting each other, then to me, there's not intimacy.
I know. I agree. And I think about that too, because I used to be that person in relationships, like, you know, in my early 20s. I was like, we never fight. And a lot of people, I think, still believe, like, well, we don't fight. We get along so well. So therefore, we have this perfect relationship.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the case. So I also want, so we have homework, and I want to talk to you about the embodiment exercise. So we were focusing on breath and mm-hmm. focusing on, moving the breath, because I do a lot of meditation. So every morning I do like 20 minutes of meditation. And so a lot of that is just, you know, again, it's like Vipassana, focusing on my breath. And when your thoughts come in, you move it back to your breath. But I was able to incorporate the exercise of moving the breath, you know, through my body and moving the erotic energy down to my pelvic floor, and realizing that it just has really like awakened me, and that I am getting more turned on, and that I'm just throughout the day after I've been incorporating it into my practice, I'm just feeling much more embodied. Which I realized that I wasn't as much before. Through all my yoga, my meditation, all that, it wasn't connecting. And I wasn't able to. That's why I was so thrilled, because I didn't know much about, even though I read your book, I didn't understand the Somatica method until I was actually there practicing it as much, obviously, like a lot of things in life. And I realized that whenever people would say to me, like, where do you feel this emotion in your body? You know, I was like, I don't know where I'm feeling things. You know, I think I'm very shut down, that a lot of it, you know, I had a tightening of my chest. And yeah. I realized that a lot of my breath was about that. So now I'm just so conscious about, you know, breathing and moving it through my body and just feeling a lot more sensations.
Yeah, I think until we get the pussy involved, until we get the pelvic floor in the mix, it doesn't really register. At least you don't feel as alive and erotic and connected if you don't have your whole pelvis involved in the breath and in the connection.
Yeah, it's been powerful for me. So thank you. And it's funny that it does, because I've been meditating for years, and that now it's just, it's really, I'm looking forward to my meditation more, because a lot of times it turns into, like, you know, an erotic session. Let's just say that. And a little bit more masturbation, which I always,
it turns me on. I'm going to get it.
I'm so turned on now. It's like, but immediately though, and I've always known this, like, it's sort of a joke in my office too. It's like, you know, a lot of times in the middle of the day, I go, take really deep breaths, and everyone's like, what's wrong? I'm like, no, I just realized I probably haven't breathed in the last 4 hours. I haven't taken a breath in 4 hours. So, you know, I don't do that anymore, because I feel like my breath is just more easily flowing, and I'm just, you know, more in touch with, you know, I've slowed down. Don't I sound really slow right now?
Yeah, feel relaxed.
Aren't I just chill, yeah, Menace?
You're just chill.
I'm just chilling.
Yeah,
I
but
feel
I,
like it I, was really, I don't know if you've talked at all, but I feel like it was really brave of you to get up in front and do that demo. Did you get a chance to talk?
No, let's talk about that. I have not. Can you talk about that from your experience, and I can talk about mine?
Well, I just felt like it was so beautiful and vulnerable for you to really let yourself get up there and, you know, talking about dropping in, like letting yourself be emotional and show your emotions in front of all of those people and let the, you know, your inner child be seen. I just felt like it was so beautiful and powerful.
Thank you. There was an exercise. So inner child work is where you really, you know, you go back to, you know, a part in your life that might have been, you know, more challenging, or where a lot of us get stuck at certain points in our life that, you know, things had happened. And yeah, I was able to really draw, you know, they said, do you want to volunteer? And I raised my hand, because again, I'd heard about inner child work and I intellectually understood it and I know how powerful it is, but I'd never really done it. So they said, and I was hoping I got picked. I went to the front, we're talking, there's like 60 people in there in the room.
Yeah.
And yep. I went up there with Danielle, who's your partner, and I was sitting in her lap, right? Was I sitting in her lap the whole time?
Oh, wow.
I know, it was intense. and I dropped in, and she took me back through, she guided me, you know, there's through breath and through, you know, my eyes were closed and going back to a time in my life that was really, really, I'd say the most difficult time in my life was when I was about 9 or 10 years old, and I had a very like abusive stepfather. Menace, I don't know if you even know this about me. And and it's really been something that, you know, there was a lot of anxiety. He lived with us from age 10 to 14. And that was a very traumatic time in my life where I think, you know, I'm stuck in a lot of ways. And Danielle was able to guide me to go back to this time where I felt that fear of living with this man who was abusive, mostly emotionally abusive. And I would get so afraid whenever he would come home from work. And like, I'd forgotten all of this. And like, the garage door would open and my brother and I would run up to our rooms because we were so scared. And she was just able to be there for me and comfort me to that space where then I was able to take the place of being like the adult Emily, comforting the little 10-year-old child Emily who needed it at that time. Like, I would have needed an adult to be there and to be caring for me. And I was able to give her that little Emily, the big Emily, was able to say, little Emily, it's okay. And I'm here for you and things are going to be okay. And I protect, like, I don't actually, like, I don't know, Celeste, you might want to speak more about that, but that's kind of what happened. I was in another place.
Wow.
But it was powerful. I cried.
Jeez.
I don't cry. Like, I cried. Like, the whole room was, people were crying. I mean, it was
powerful. Emotional.
Very emotional. I mean, I did some serious work. It's amazing. Like, I could be in therapy for 15 years, and then you do an exercise, you know, in front of a bunch of people for 5 minutes, and it changes your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like as adults, you know, we sometimes our little child just sort of takes over because we get hurt or scared in the same way that we did when we were young. And then we start doing what a little child would do. And to have your adult there as sort of an advocate saying, okay, I'm going to stick up for you. I'm going to be your advocate out in the world. I'm not going to let you get hurt in that same way, but I'm going to do it by communicating and talk, you know, sharing your needs and your boundaries, right? All of these things. But getting in touch with that child in the first place is what helps us learn how to do that and not saying, oh, let's forget about that ever happened, because she's still there, right? She's still there, and sometimes she runs the show. So actually being tuned into that younger part of you helps you feel, helps you be more empowered out in the world. You're like, right. I got your back now. Don't worry.
No. With all with all this, and, you know, when people go through these exercises, a thing like that, what is the end goal in everything? Just to learn more about yourself, or, you know, I don't know, because when with therapy and things like that, what's always the end goal, do you think? At least with you, what's your end goal, Emily?
God, for me, and then Celeste can speak this after, but my end goal is, like, I know that I experienced, as we all do, but I think I experienced some trauma in my life, like the divorces and my dad dying. I mean, there was a lot of things in my life, but that particular period, such formative ages, I feel like, you know, I have a lot of anxiety, and I think a lot of it comes from that time in my life. And like Celeste said, you don't, you know, a lot of us just repress things that happen to us and we keep moving through life, but they don't actually go away. We sort of just learn how to cope with them. But when you actually, like, zoom right in and you can go back to that time, there is a healing that can take place, and a comforting that I can go back. Like, I saw myself, like, sitting on my bed as a 10-year-old child, and I saw myself, like, in my bedroom that was, like, this yellow room with flowers, and feeling, like, scared. Like, I got in touch with that anxiety and that fear that I felt, and knowing that it would have been so nice to have, like, an adult come in and comfort me. So for me, it was sort of like, it kind of married my adult self with my child self that could, when Celeste just said running the show, we all have little parts of ourselves, fears that still show up. We don't even know, like, in your day-to-day, like, things that make you nervous, Menace, or things that might make you scared or insecure that happen at work. A lot of that stuff stems back to stuff that happened in childhood. And so for me, I was able to, like, bridge that connection and kind of let go of a lot of it. And I mean, I don't think things ever go away, but you learn to kind of soften them, and they don't have as much weight, you know, once you're in touch and you feel vulnerable. Again, there's also the process of being vulnerable and having someone there witnessing, having a whole room witness. And so, I don't know, how would you explain it, Celeste?
Well, I think if you increase your self-awareness, then you can be responsive. Sorry, there's a motorcycle by my house. I think you can be responsive instead of reactive. Like, sometimes when things happen to us and we aren't self-aware or mindful and we haven't done any of our healing, then we just freak out in the ways that we did when we were younger or something like that. And I used to be just crazy when I was younger in relationship because, you know, anytime I felt like somebody was even, like, leaving me in the slightest way, or I couldn't say what I wanted because I was scared that they would leave. And so I was just constantly in drama mode. And as I healed and learned how to understand, like, what was scaring me and be able to talk vulnerably about that and be open and be able to self-soothe and, you know, just not get so freaked out, then I was able to just, I'm so much more calm and easy and connected, and my relationships are much more time in fun, much less time in drama. And then, you know, around sex, just knowing your body and being more embodied and arousable and learning all the things that turn you on, then your sex life is so much more pleasurable also. And so it's like way more ease, way less drama, way more pleasure. To me, that's the end goal of therapy.
Yeah. How about that, Matt?
It sounds like a long road. Yeah,
it is a long road, but I think Menace is going to sign up for the next somatica training. Which when is that? I think I'm just going to send him. I'm not going to let him come back.
Yeah, we're starting in April. We can't wait to have you, Menace.
All right.
Yeah, I think it would be good for you.
Be ready.
No, but I think that's a really. I mean, we do. It's true in relationships. You know, obviously, a lot of intimacy issues, a lot of not wanting people to get close. The way I've reacted in relationships in the past have just not always been so healthy. Or I thought I didn't want relationships because relationships always end. And then, you know, realizing that a lot of it is just our own fears that we're bringing from relationship to relationship, and then learning how to stop that cycle. So
sometimes we freak out like I did, and sometimes people shut down and distance. You know, there's lots of ways that we're reactive. They don't always look so dramatic. They can seem very quiet, but they are a distancing. And that's what takes us out of things that are most pleasurable in our lives, like intimate connection and touch.
Right.
You know, so we can get more and more of that once we are less reactive.
Exactly. So that's my process so far. Well, thank you so much, Celeste. I appreciate your time and for being an awesome teacher.
My pleasure.
And we'll be checking with you again next month.
Okay.
And I'll be seeing you in San Francisco, and I can't wait. This has been really powerful for me, and I think for a lot of people, everyone in the class. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
Okay. Enjoy the day.
Thanks
for your time. You bye,
too.
Celeste. Bye. All right. That was interesting.
Wow, you got pretty deep right there.
I know, right?
You were sharing things.
I know. You learn some stuff.
I did learn some things.
I know.
It seems like this course has been changing your life.
That was just like the first one. Like I got five more. Just wait.
It's crazy.
New person. I love it. Thank you for being here for me. Okay, let's get on to emails.
All right.
Okay, everyone, thanks for emailing us feedback@sexwithemily.com. We love getting your emails. And we love when you include your name, your age, where you're listening from, and how you listen in your email. Hey, Emily, I love the show, especially the theme. But I have a predicament for you. I've been together with a girl for 5 months, but she lives an hour away by train. She tends to be busy with work often, so I only see her about once a month. She's great, feisty, and interesting, but I'm wondering if she's worth the hassle. Should I find someone better who I can see more often, or keep at it and try to make the situation better? Thanks, Bailey, 18, Edinburgh, Scotland. He's 18.
Scotland. What's up, Scotland?
What up, yo? Okay, so my advice for long-term relationships is they're fine as long as you have an end date.
Long-distance relationships?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
LDR. Mm-hmm. If you know, there should be an end date. Like, we are doing long-distance right now, but we know eventually we're going to move to the same town.
Yeah.
You know, because then you know, like, because otherwise, what's the point? Like, seeing someone once a month, it's no way to have, like, a real relationship. So I think,
Also,
what?
Oh, it's only an hour by train?
But like, she can only see him once a month because she's busy.
Ooh, it's crazy.
But once a month is not, like, I think, enough for him. Mm-hmm. So he wants to know, should he work on it? Should he just break up with her? Or, you know, what to do? Because he really likes her. But once a month is, like, no relationship.
Yeah, once a month is crazy. Yeah, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't want to say automatically break up, because if you really dig this person, then you should just keep on going until...
I don't know. Well, I think he's got three options. I think that let her know, like, hey, I want to figure out a way to see her more. I mean, I know she's working a lot, but can you go see her, Bailey? Like, you didn't mention, like, you know, that.
Yeah. Are you FaceTiming, Skyping?
I mean, do you
see each other more over the internet? Is that why, like, actually seeing... each other only once a month is actually not that big of a deal, because you feel like you see them every day. I don't know.
FaceTime can help that. It's true, you know, but can she come see you? You know, does she work? Can she work while she's in town? Like, is there a compromise? That's your first choice. Number two, continue to see her, but also see other people if that's possible with your relationship that you're in right now, the arrangement that you two have. Number three, your other option is, if you want to be in a monogamous relationship with someone you see more often, as a lot of people do, you might have to end this relationship and look for someone in your city. So I say definitely talk to her first, let her know how you're feeling. But if you can't compromise, it might be time for a different approach to this relationship, because long distance, you're just like, he's young, he's 18. There's probably lots of hot chicks right next door. That's what I got to say.
And what's that thing that you can have sex over the internet? Because I'm still obsessed with that.
The key you're looking at over there, the Kiru?
The Kiru.
The fleshlight, yeah. You can have sex over the internet. That's true, but he still can't cuddle. Okay.
I'm fascinated.
You love it. You're fascinated because you invented it first in your brain. That's why you're fascinated. Doesn't mean that there's not real more room in the market, Menace, if you've got spare time.
I'm still trying to understand how it works.
You can take it home and try it out with your girlfriend in the next
because
room.
Because the thing is, like...
Yeah.
This is the part that... Okay, there's two pieces to it, right? And then there's the part that's the dildo. Okay, I'll just call it a dildo.
And you can do that.
And then there's the other part where it's the insertion device, which the guy has, right? So the guy is doing the motion where he is... I'm just going to say jackhammer, right? Let's say he's jackhammering it, mm-hmm. right? So how does the dildo part actually have the up and down motion instead of just vibrating? Or does it just vibrate?
It's connect, so she can... It is vibrating, but he's using like a fleshlight on his penis. So the way that he's moving it up and down...
Yeah.
It's like his vagina's on his real penis, mm-hmm. and then... So she's feeling the motions that he's doing with that.
So he's making it vibrate faster.
Yes. And then she's feeling that. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It does. I just figured that it would actually have the penetration motion, but okay. So now him inserting makes a vibration. So now I get it.
Yeah. Okay, good.
All right.
Right.
Cool.
Got it. Good. And you're welcome. You're welcome to take that home with you and use it. Okay. Hi, Emily. I've been trying to get into podcasts, but I haven't found one that I care to listen to until I found yours. It's so entertaining and enlightening, and you talk about my favorite topic, sex. I do have a question for you. I masturbate often, like almost every day, but I have to watch porn. I just can't do it without. I've been wondering if I should cut out the porn and just try to enjoy it myself, but I can't get myself turned on. Any thoughts? Thanks. Cheers. Stay amazing. Izzy, this is a great question, and it gets a lot of attention lately. So I understand, like, she's wondering. I'm thinking it's a girl. It's funny. At first, I thought it was a guy, but Izzy, ISSY. I don't know why. I always think that men
Izzy
are
can
asking.
Be a guy too.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking that men are always asking, like, asking how can I stop watching porn more so than women. Mm-hmm. But this is, again, it's a great question. And the thing about watching porn is, I understand that you just want to be can I get turned down without it? Yes, you can. The brain is our largest sex organ. You just need to, start thinking about, what turned you on? Sexy thoughts, scenarios.
Like past scenarios.
Mm-hmm. But also, it's more that you're like, you've grown accustomed to the erotic scenarios you're watching. It's not that you're like addicted to porn. So I would rebuild your masturbation practice. Like, focus on the touch and sensation in your body. And I know at first you're like, no, I can't do this without porn. But I would just try to have a date night with yourself, take a bath, like start touching yourself, play music, whatever it is that turned you on, and make this about your own mind and your body connecting. So how does it feel when your hands are on your body? How does it feel when you touch your nipples? How does it feel when you glide your hands over your clitoris, your labia? And really just every time you're thinking, I need the porn, start just focusing on the sensations that you're having in your body at that time. And it's kind of like, taking it away from the porn, which is something that's outside yourself, and focusing on what you're feeling in the time with your body. And now again, since you're so used to porn, you might at first feel like, oh, I can't do it, and get frustrated. But the thing about sex is you can train your body to respond to different sensations during masturbation. So, visually you just were kind of like standing by, like watching. But now if you get more involved with, your body and the touch and the sensations that's happening, you're going to realize that your masturbation could go to a whole different level. You can also, there's nothing wrong with like also like fantasizing and just thinking about, scenarios that have happened to you in the past or what you want to happen in the future. And, remember, there's a time where there was not porn to watch, and it wasn't that long ago, or a lot of people had to use their minds and they had to think of the sexy thoughts or, focus on their bodies, either one or the other or both. So, this is something you can do. I mean, it doesn't sound like you like are having a particular problem with it, but you just want to try it out. And I think that's great, because I think just like having sex with your partner, it's great to always mix things up.
Yeah.
So I would say focus on your breath, your touch, do your Kegel exercises while you're masturbating, because that's a great way to, for a lot of women, they actually do Kegel exercises, that tensing and relaxing when they're masturbating. So you can do that. masturbate in the shower. When you masturbate in the shower, you can't actually have, you don't have your computer there. Yeah. You can't watch porn. So
you have to use your imagination.
You have to use your imagination. You can just focus on the feelings in your body, again, one or the other. And I think you're going to be very surprised. You're going to realize that you can do it, but don't be frustrated if the first time you're like, oh, I just can't do it. And even if you're like, God, I'm just going to watch porn right now, that's fine. But as long as you're working on the practice, I promise you can get there. You do not, no one, actually, men and women, you do not need to watch porn to get off. You just don't. Men just doesn't.
No.
You don't like porn.
I don't, because it just, again, it goes to the like cheesy factor. But yeah, so your imagination, you can come up with anything you want on demand.
Exactly.
You know?
Anything.
In a second.
Right. You can
no matter where you're at.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, focus on your breath, touch. And in fact, it's like, it's so important to be in touch with your body. Like I was talking about with Celeste, like I've learned so much about just, you know, I think I'm a very connected, self-aware person, but a lot of times, you know, we just have this like 12-inch journey that we have not done from our head to our heart. We don't connect them, like our body, like our mind to our body. And we just, we're either living in our mind or in our body, and we're not connecting them. So once you do all of that, it's amazing. Sex is amazing. Move your breath through your body. Okay, that's all we got time for today.
Great show, Emily. Thanks for sharing earlier on that call.
You're welcome.
I think you've opened up to a lot of listeners.
Yeah, it feels good. You know, I love sharing, and I love evolving. Just so you know, it's never too late to be evolving and learning and growing. Menace, you're next.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have a long way to go.
We all do. I'm kidding, honey. You know what? I'm kidding. We all do. I think you are never done learning and growing and evolving and changing. That's cool. The beauty of life. Okay, so find Menace everywhere, at Menace.
At Menace, yes, and thank you. I still get comments on Chiro's page, my dog, Muggle
Baby. My dog,
baby.
Chiro.
My dog, Chiro.
Will you bring Chiro in sometime?
I will. She would love it. My dog, Chiro, on Instagram. I don't know how many podcasts ago, I said, if you listen to the entire podcast all the way till the end, I want you to go to my dog, Chiro, on Instagram and comment and say I listened to the end, and people still comment.
I love it.
From a long time ago, so thank you so much.
Okay, so what should we, okay, I want you to go look at my bikini picture.
Oh yeah,
on my Instagram, because apparently you all really like it. Yeah. And if you go comment on that bikini photo or any of them and tell me that you listened to the end of the show, I'll be very I'll send you a special kiss.
Yeah, so Instagram.com/sexwithemily.
Right, and slash on Menace or My Dog Chiro. And subscribe to the podcast. Oh, and go shopping at our website. We've got a new store there. And also, you can leave your messages. We've got a voicemail. It's actually, the number's on the website. I don't know what it is at this moment.
Okay, sexwithemily.com.
So guys, check it all out. So thanks everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Get tired of talking about the magic wand. Seriously, it's like telling stories about your best friend. I actually think I have more stories about magic wand than I do my best friend. But anyway, the magic wand was part of my life long before it was part of the show. Now it's time to make it part of your life as well. For more than 30 years, the magic wand has been the trusted toy that women around the world reach for first. In fact, Time magazine just named the magic wand as one of the top 10 most influential gadgets of all time. We're talking right next to the iPod and the calculator. Time magazine, people, if that doesn't says it all, I don't know what does. But the perfectly sized original magic wand delivers amazing power and control, and it's incredibly simple to use. Just plug in the 6-foot cord for uninterrupted pleasure. For more information on the magic wand, visit magicwandoriginal.com today or click on the magic wand banner on my website. Listeners and friends are always asking me how to spice up their relationships. They want to know how to bring the spark back. One great way is to add in some variety. Well, our good friends at AdamandEve.com know all about that. AdamandEve.com is where you'll find all my favorite high-end toys like the Magic Wand, the Rewipe Tango, as well as every formula of quality lube you could think of. You should be using lube, if I haven't made that clear before. So, try it out. Try lube. You will love it. The folks at AdamandEve.com are pleasers, so they put together a special deal for Sex With Emily listeners. If you order today and use code EMILY, they'll cut the price of almost any single item in half. Not enough? They'll also toss in 3 free DVDs and ship it all out for free. And for a limited time, they'll include a free gift, a sexy premium silicone pleasure ring. Rings are a great way to enhance intercourse. And if you haven't tried one before, this is the perfect time. It helps guys stay harder longer while providing that crucial clitoral stimulation that most women need to orgasm during intercourse. to get your free ring, free shipping, free DVDs, and 50% off one item, go to adamandeve.com today and use code Emily at checkout. Thanks for listening.